You are listening to The Edge with Desley Humphrey and, of course, Isabel Aberhull. We have been very fortunate to have on the line from the UK author Tim Gill. Now, he is the author of Explorers of the Nile and, of course, we have been giving away a copy of his book. We gave a copy away in the first hour, half hour rather, and now in the second hour we're giving away a copy of Explorers of the Nile, but you need to text in and answer this question. Who was the person who coined the phrase, Dr. Livingstone, I presume? Text in on 4001, the answer to that question. Now, Tim, you've been speaking with Isabel about the book, but I had this burning question when I was doing a little bit of research on you, and you have been the biographer of notable Victorian men like Robert Baden-Powell, the founder of the Boy Scouts movement, David Livingstone, and Henry Stanley. Your affinity with the Nile is clear with just a quick look at the titles of your novels and biography. Reading between the lines, you know, is it accurate to say that perhaps you're an explorer at heart, trapped in a writer's body? You know, how did your relationship with these Victorians start?
Well, I did. What got me started was when I was 17, before I went to university, after I left school, I travelled along the Nile right down to Lake Victoria or pretty close to it. And I then travelled continuing south, right down to South Africa, and then came home. And that took me, I suppose, about 6 or 7 months, the whole thing. And I did become very, very keen on Africa. And it was really this feeling, you know, that I had when I was there. I mean, I was in really no particular danger ever. But I just felt, of course, I was in nice, secure cars and trucks and buses, you know, mainly as a mode of travel, or clearly Nile steamers when I was on the Nile. But the ease of my journey, of knowing where I was going, and that I would, even if our truck broke down, we had water and food on it, and somebody else would pass within a few hours, really, maybe half a day if we were very unlucky. Whereas the explorers, of course, were in the midst of a vast continent. I could see, you know, at the side of the track that we were going along, little tiny paths going into the bush. And it did occur to me, you know, that if I were to have gone along one of those paths, unless I found a village very soon, I would have died of heat exhaustion and or lack of food, or maybe, if I was very unlucky, a wild beast would have got me. But I would, you know, the whole idea of walking thousands of miles along such paths on one's feet was just a revelation to me that these people, that Stanley, his greatest journey, for example, he walked 7,000 miles, some of it on, obviously, on the Congo River, in canoes. But the kind of level of physical achievement of doing what they did really only occurred to me in the when I was in the middle of the vastness of Africa. You need to be there to sense its immensity. And so I got hold of the achievement. So this lasted me in a way. I went back to Africa a few times. But you're right. I mean, I think my mother was very much against my father, who was a rather spiritual, rather sort of, she considered him to be a rather wishy-washy individual, you know, he didn't do anything rugged and whatever. And I suppose in a peculiar way, writing about these men is writing about the exact opposite of my father. It's rather a strange thought. It only occurred to me years later that maybe there was something sort of deep down in me that drew me to these peculiar Edwardians. My wife thinks that they're very strange, and that you know, that it's odd really to have spent so much time in a way getting to grips with people who were so specialized. You know, I mean, you don't really have a good marriage, for example, if you are an African explorer, because of course Livingstone was away all that time. All these people were away for ages, and you know, they very often came back completely physically wrecked by the experience. And as a wife, do you want that for, you know, would you even wait? I mean, it's a really hard one.
In the book itself, it's divided into two sort of separate parts. One is you telling, solving the mystery, so the mystery of where the Nile starts from. And then the second shorter bit is the consequences. And, you know, when you decided you were going to write this book, was that sort of an afterthought, or was that always in your mind that you were aware of what this discovery then led to in a political sense?
Well, I'm not really. I suppose in a way it only occurred to me as I was writing it that actually the very strange fact that Britain was the colonial power, not just for Egypt, but also for the Sudan and also for Uganda, right along the Nile, meant that Britain had ultimate control over where exactly the boundaries of these countries were drawn. I mean, normally, say, for example, France had been the colonial power of, say, Sudan and Britain, and, you know, there'd been some other country in the middle. Then the borders of these countries, when they became independent, would have been established by international international conference or something. But in fact, Britain made these decisions during the colonial period, and these were merely rubber stamped when independence came. And of course, the boundary of southern Sudan meant that a very large number of people who were culturally and racially completely different from the Arabs living in the northern part of Sudan was obviously going to create a lot of trouble. Similarly, in Uganda, we drew a boundary which pushed in again a group of people who were racially and culturally very different from the southern Ugandans. And it only came to me gradually that actually this came as a result of the Nile exploration. And so I thought I ought really to write it down. Mm. I do say, though, that I don't think... I mean, I think that at the time that the Nile explorers did their exploration, they really were principally motivated by love of adventure and by competitiveness with each other, and in the case of Livingstone, a desire to end the East African slave trade. And these things weighed much more with them than any desire, really, for imperialism. This came rather later. Remember that you know, Burton and Speke went to Africa in the 1850s, whereas the battle, you know, of Omdurman, which was a terrible battle inflicted on the Sudanese people by Kitchener, was not until 1898. So it's really in the 90s that Africa was taken away from its rightful owners. Mm. So I, while I chronicle what happened, I do also say that it shouldn't make us feel that the explorers were a bad lot, because really they weren't. They were incredibly adventurous, amazingly brave, and tell us something about, well, I suppose the best and the worst of human beings when they are under enormous pressure. Mm. But Burton resorted to lies and so forth, but similarly, others of them were fantastically generous and so on. So, you know, you see human beings at the limit of what is physically possible during this. Remember, this is a mystery that's been there for 2,000 years longer, the whole of recorded history, which six incredibly brave individuals solved within a matter of a quarter of a century. I mean, it's an amazing achievement, probably unparalleled in the history of human geography and exploration.
Tim Gill, we're going to have to interrupt there and end our interview. We could have talked for another hour, I think, on what a wonderful topic. Now, maybe you can help us out with the answer to our question. We have asked our listeners, who is the person that coined the phrase...
Dr. Livingstone,
I presume, and of course the answer is?
It is, of course, Henry Morton Stanley. He coined it. Definitely coined it.
Okay, and so our winner is, our listener is Faye, and her mobile number finishes with 346. So Faye, you are the winner of a copy of Explorers of the Nile, and we've been talking to the author of that book, Tim Gill. Tim, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
A great pleasure to talk to you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye, Tim. Thank you. Now, we have come to the end of our show, Isabel. That's no good.
We have, yes. And it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to be on air with you, Desley. And I'm looking forward to next week when I'm going to be talking about a book that took me to a whole new world of fantasy called The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern. This has been published to huge acclaim. First novel. We can talk about it next week.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to send a big thank you to all our guests, artist Julia Abini, Nazreen Al-Tamimi, Asid and Khalid, Alana Cullen, and of course, Isabel, thank you for joining us. And we had the author Tim Gill on, and we spoke to him from the UK.